the Shiny Squirrel Podcast, Nerdling Edition. I'm Senior Nerdling, WC Chronicles.
And I'm Nerdling Junior, Jersey Mike.
Jersey Mike. And this week we're going to talk about PBS. We started this as a topic and our list grew and grew and grew, so we're just going to focus on three things tonight. Because they are just boatload huges of trivia. We got our slide rules, we got our pie charts, our graphs together because we're the nerdlings.
And let me tell you, PBS, boy, you thought it was one of those real weird channels growing up, but it's one of the most educational, funnest stations you're ever going to see in your life. Public broadcasting system. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, who thought we'd be here umpteen years later talking about it?
Yeah, umpteen with a 30 for me plus, because I'll tell you what, I'm not more than that.
Well, I like to say umpteen, that way you can mask it a little bit. But anyway, so our opening song there, the theme song from The Electric Company.
Wow.
Electric Company ran from 1971 to 1977. They did 780 episodes.
Now, that's pretty bizarre because everything nowadays is like, you know, to get to 100 episodes, 200 miles, episodes a milestone. But 700 plus episodes?
780, yeah. A television season now is, what, 13 episodes?
If that.
They shortened them. And if you don't get good ratings, boom, they'll axe you after two.
And The Electric Company, 780 shows, that's 100 shows a year. So how much work really went into that stuff?
A lot. And there's a lot of things I bet you didn't know that I'm going to tell you.
All right. I'm ready to be publicly broadcasted and educated this evening.
This is your new children's broadcasting network. But anyway, that first voice that goes, "Hey, you guys." Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And as you're a kid, no matter what, if the opportunity came to yell out those three words, It was the reason to do it. I remember I was in Cub Scouts, and we had it was Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts or something, and there's like seven other kids from my school that we were in Cub Scouts with, and that particular evening, we actually had a police car come to our house, because they were talking about police safety and everything, and so the police officer came time to start talking about the car. Well, of course, he has that loudspeaker.
And didn't.
Oh, of course I did. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Reflex. You grab, get that microphone, and you gotta yell, "Hey, you guys!"
Wow. You're lucky. You're lucky you grew up on the West Coast. East Coast, I think you would have had a little ride with them guys.
Probably so. Well, it was, you gotta remember, this was Southwest Portland, not desert, but farm country. You could get away with it.
The small towns. Public Broadcasting System, The Electric Company. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, who did that voice? Who did that first yell? "Hey, you guys!"
It sounds familiar. It sounds like a lady.
It's a lady, yeah.
Sounds like a famous actress.
Rita Moreno.
She was in, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen her in Oz. I've seen her in a bunch of other things.
When she started doing The Electric Company, she was 40 years old.
40?
40. And just for the record now, she's still alive. She's 84 now.
Oh, my gosh.
Film, TV, Broadway.
Yeah. That
countless,
was Rita Moreno?
That
I can't
was Rita
believe
Moreno.
That.
Yeah, countless Emmy Awards, theater.
You see, everyone's Public Broadcasting System. That is something good. You still can plug in the TV, I think, in most of the country. And you got to get a digital box, though, unfortunately. But at least you can still pick this up, and they have some really neat shows on this.
Yeah, just an incredible career. That's where she already had a start. And she did a famous part in West Side Story, I know, before coming to The Electric Company. She could pick. She came here from Puerto Rico what's the word I'm looking for? Not a refugee, an immigrant.
An immigrant.
But I think she was already, well, or a citizen, whatever. I'm not going to get into the Puerto Rico tilings. But then, probably this...
787 area code for all our Puerto Rican Boricua friends.
I love Puerto Rico. I got to go there.
Oh, yes, it's a beautiful place.
About 7 years ago.
And we love J-Lo, too.
Oh, I feel sorry for J-Lo's kids. Is that your mom up there? Dude, your mom's hot.
Oh, your mom is super hot.
All right, but there's another celebrity on the list who came even greater. He didn't have fame before Electric Company, but you're going to know him as Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman got his start on Electric Company?
He got his start on Electric Company.
I kind of remember him.
He did the, he had the DJ who would announce the band. He did the Streetwise Easy Reader. You know, hey, how you doing? Yeah. All right.
Didn't he deal with Dracula too, Count Dracula? Or that was another show.
He
maybe.
Did. No, he did dress as Dracula a few times. Yeah. They had so many skits on that for a half hour show with no commercials.
Hey, there you go. No commercials. What does that tell you? Yep. Awesome talent.
78 years old now, Morgan Freeman. Now here, I found another sound. I found a neat little clip, sound clip. It's of Morgan Freeman doing the character Easy Reader singing a song, one of the many songs. It's very musical. Very musical, Electric Company was. Singing a song with Rita Moreno. This one is just, I'm going to start it, okay?
Too old, Easy.
Oh, wait a minute, wait, he's resting. He was laying a lot of words on me, so he'll be with you in 1 minute, okay?
That's cool. That's okay. Cool.
All right.
Calm down, Ella. You've gotten the matches on you.
Yes, I happen to... Wait a minute. Hmm? You don't smoke.
Well, yeah, I know, but when I itches, I scratches. And when I'm bored, I read matches.
Oh.
Close cover before striking. I say, is that heavy? Is that heavy?
Easy, huh? They named you right.
You say so, huh? Easy Reader, that's my name. Reading, reading, that's my game. Is out of sight. Easy Reader, that's my name.
All right, that's one of the many characters that he did.
You know what, though? It was so educational, too. It brings back some of this stuff. Like, they used to do, remember, count one, two, three?
Yes.
I mean, they would have different skits around educating you.
It was very colorful.
Yes.
Very colorful. It was that, almost that, like a Partridge Family bus. Multicolored
bus. That's another subject, the Partridge Family.
That's another day. But his other character that he did, if you remember, he would introduce the... Do you remember the kid band that was on there?
No.
They called...
No.
I never realized that this kid band had a name. They called themselves the Short Circus.
The Short Circus.
The Short Circus.
Wow. Okay. So, the Short Circus.
And then Morgan Freeman would do this DJ character, and he would introduce him.
Wow.
So that is this is part of it. Here.
Boys and girls, that was a little tune by Tommy and the Toenails called I Stubbed My Heart for You. Hey, now it's time to meet our special guest. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The group that's righteous, bracious, and way out of sightious. Here they are singing their brand new hit, The Sweet, Sweet Sway, The Short Circle.
Okay, so he would do that in the band. All these kids are, you know, teenagers, probably in the 16, 17, say 18 or whatever.
And just think, this was before Shawshank Redemption was even thought of.
Yes, but what's funny is, I remember this was about, I'm going to say 78 maybe, and Electric Company went off the air, or they quit making them, okay? I remember I was homesick or something, flipping through the channels. Electric Company was over.
And that's when you turned the television channel. You actually had a dial and turned.
And turning it faster did not make the shows get better.
Nope. It just was turn the television, ladies and gentlemen.
I saw Morgan Freeman on some soap opera.
Really?
Some soap opera. So that was his second big break into New York and soap operas. I don't know what it was. I was something 8 years old. I don't remember. But... there was one kid who was a member of that Short Circus who became famous. And I'm going to play playing one of these songs here.
Wow, this is interesting. That's pretty good stuff.
This is it. Now, I'm not going to tell you who this is. This is her singing with, this is a 17-year-old who she is, singing with the Short Circus Electric Company. No, not Bette Midler. Okay, now, Fast forward, because that was about 1972, she went on into an early 80s to have a really popular song. This was, don't look, okay? Don't you look at it. The song was a movie, it was a TV show, she sang the theme song, she was casted in it.
I wonder who this could be. Casted?
What?
They had a television show, and yeah, there's a local teacher by the name of Billy Huxley that was actually on Fame.
Right.
So that's another person
that
is connected off of this, off of a movie from of somebody's career, and they turn around off of a movie, a spinoff. Billy Huxley, if you're out there, you're an A number one guy, and you were on Fame. Didn't even know a connection tie. You never know with the nerdlings.
I never even knew that connect. I didn't, while going through, doing the research, I didn't even pass that in mind. Because he goes back and forth between Las Vegas here and LA for teaching acting school.
But this is one of the best known and one of the greatest teachers out there that experienced and actually had a hit TV show, Dancer and everything. And I heard he didn't have it easy. So this is another part of the struggle. Mr. Huxley, thank you very much for at least being on Fame.
Yeah. So, Irene Cara, then she went on further to Flashdance.
Flashdance.
Sang the theme song to that.
Oh, and I'll tell you what about Flashdance. We'll keep it nice and PG, but she did one good, awesome, wild and wet scene. Watch the movie.
Watch the video. I remember that. But yeah, I didn't even think of the Billy Huxley thing, the connection there.
See, you never know how we're all nerdlings, junior to senior, senior to junior.
It all spider webs together, slowly but surely. But now, do you remember the two superheroes that they had on the Electric Company?
No.
One, this was his introduction. He was, let's see, faster than a rolling O, stronger than a silent E, able to leap tall, capital T in a single bound. It's a word. It's a plan. It's Letterman.
Oh, Letterman. Okay, wow. Not David Letterman.
I think Letterman became before Letterman.
Wow. You're talking about the early 70s. Yeah. Holy smokes.
It started out as just a very small cartoon short.
Do you remember the 70s when they had the gas strikes?
I do.
Odd and even license plates for gas Monday and Wednesday, Wednesday and Friday, certain days of the week, odds even. We used to have lines around our block. It was just unbelievable.
I remember that. Going with my parents, because they both had the same, I can't remember if it was odd or even, but they would go on the same days and we'd have to go early in the morning to get gas.
Now, isn't that amazing?
And I can't remember the price of it, do you?
I think back then gas was like 70-something cents, if I'm not mistaken. It was very cheap.
It was cheap. Okay, now, you remember Letterman? He was that guy that would, the cartoon that would fly around, he'd wear the jersey sweater, the football helmet, and there'd be a problem with a word. He would remove the sweater, the letter from his sweater and change it and make it all okay.
Letterman.
But there is something about Letterman, who's connected to it that you don't even know. But I gotta play it here.
The Adventures of Letterman.
Okay, now I'm gonna advance it here. You're gonna guess who is that narrator and who is doing the voice of Letterman.
Okay.
You're not. I. You might get close. You may not. I don't know.
Nick ruined. Are the sandwiches soggy? Is life a shower? Oh, where's Letterman? There he is. From out of a bush he comes. Faster than a rolling O. Stronger than silent E. Able to leap capital T in a single bound. It's a word. It's a plan. It's Letterman.
I'm Letterman.
Taking the T from his varsity jersey, he changes the SH in shower to a T, making it tower.
Thank you, Letterman.
Thank you, Letterman.
Letterman?
Pop, can I have my sandwich back?
Life is a tower.
Is life a tower?
Okay. So, who do you think is doing the narration?
Joan Rivers.
That is absolutely correct. When I found that out, I was like, I did not know that.
Wow, I can just tell by the way that voice is. Now, Letterman, I am stumped on.
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder of Willy Wonka fame.
Yes.
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Yes, all those were his movies.
Oh my gosh, Frankenstein and all that stuff he did. That was Gene Wilder. I would have never guessed that.
Gene Wilder. Joan Rivers and Gene Wilder working together.
Oh my gosh.
Now, there was the second superhero. They went in cooperation with Marvel Comics.
I wonder who this could be. Wow, a lot of stuff came off of Elektra Company.
Spider-Man. Where are you coming from, Spider-Man? Nobody knows who you are.
The other popular superhero, Spider-Man comics.
I can't believe that. So you had Letterman with Joan Rivers, Gene Wilder, and now Spider-Man actually came off of the Elektra Company.
Yeah, it was Spider-Man in a costume, and it didn't have he didn't talk, but they put the bubbles above his head, the graphics, and it was the live action scenes, and they had the silly characters who he defeated all the time. Wow. And that was just as popular as Letterman, because he was in just about every episode. I mean, that's what got me, that was my first introduction ever to Spider-Man.
Wow. I'll tell you, that is just amazing. You don't even realize how people's careers started. And what I can't get an unbelievable time is this was the 70s.
Yeah.
780 shows.
780 shows.
Wow.
Now, Marvel, they were already doing permission this with them. They also did a spin-off comic book, because we were talking about comic books 2 weeks ago, called Spidey's Super Stories. It was targeted at kids ages 6 to 10, and they put out 57 issues for 5 years.
Wow!
Actually continued to put out issues for 2 or 3 years, even after the show was done in 77.
That's unbelievable. I'll tell you what, I was only 7 years old during them times, but I remember going to the comic book stores, getting your chewing gum, watching different TV shows on PBS. It was just such a great time. It really was. It was a great time to grow up.
It was clean TV.
It really was, yes.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Very colorful. I want to go back to the Short Circus real quick.
Okay.
Because if you remember their costumes, they were very like pantsuits, polyester.
The 70s.
That is like Osmond matching outfits.
Wow.
The Partridge 70s. Family. I forgot to mention that, but you said there. But anyway, some of the famous people that have appeared in cameos on Elektra Company: Carol Burnett, Gene Stapleton, Dean Martin, Joe Namath, Michael Landon, Lauren Green, and probably 20 more that I don't have time to
listen. That's unbelievable.
Now, I did go and look on YouTube to see if I could find any of these names that I've listed. I can't find any of them.
You're going back 40 years ago. That's a ways.
You're going back through 780 episodes.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
In a half hour each episode?
Wow.
That's like a month's worth of solid TV.
Wow. And that was good TV.
That was awesome TV.
That's why we're the nerdlings. We remember this stuff and we liked it.
And we like to talk about it. And that's why we want you, if you're enjoying what we're talking about, go tell a friend, tell them that they got to tune in and listen to this, and just go back
just
and
spread it like wildfire.
Spread it like wildfire.
Like the hippies say, just roll and enjoy the clouds. But we won't explain what that meant. Or like Groovy, man.
Oh, yes, the Groovy.
Wow, the Elektra Company. That was on Channel 13 growing up out of New York City. I can't believe
there was another. There's another one I forgot to. I didn't write down my notes here, and I got the sound file here for it here. This is a guy named Vic who was on the Elektra Company named Victor Borga.
That sounds familiar.
I actually took what he did on the Elektra Company and brought it to improv class when we were doing it.
Oh, really?
Let me play it. You can get it.
Punctuation marks can be very confusing, and that is why I have invented a way by which we can hear punctuation marks as well as see them. And here's how it works. A period sounds like this. An exclamation point is a straight line with a period underneath. And here is a comma. Quotation marks are two commas. Or if you happen to be left-handed. Question mark is...
The famed Victor Borga of stage and music and comedy. I remembered from the Electric Company how well it influenced me. I brought that to improv class, and we were doing scenes with that one night.
And you turn around, and how many other hundreds of people through your teachings have you honestly kept the craft alive, but going all the way back to the Electric Company, something you grew up with
exactly
as a nerdling, and it really helped other kids and adults learn. That's amazing.
It kind of goes full circle almost.
This show I remember. Channel 11, New York.
All right, so this is where we have a difference between West Coast and East Coast. Because when we started having the discussion about doing PBS, you mentioned a show called...
The Magic Gardens with Paula, and I forget the other girl's name, was Janice, I think.
Carol
Dean. Carol and Paula, and they would sit on the swing, and they would sing to you. I think Paula had the long hair that was like in the ponytails down by the side. And I forget what the other young lady looked at, but I just remember them singing in the morning, and it was just unbelievable. Then you told me it ran 12 seasons. I can't believe that. That was just incredible.
1972 to 1984 for 12 years.
That's amazing. And that was on the WPIX.
WPIX,
Channel
11, New York City. You had you got to experience the East Coast of PBS with that. I never did get to enjoy the Magic Garden.
You know what was great about the Magic Garden? They also, I think, put out a record that had the...
I got the information on
that. Yeah, they put out a record, I remember. And I'll tell you what, for two women of the time, I think they were like, in a way, setting a precedent of having a show run this long.
They were feminists.
Yes.
Basically feminist.
Back in that time is really something that didn't happen. So I think they were like, not forefathers, but I guess you would call them...
forerunners?
Forerunners, or if you want to be for women, forewomen.
Forewomen.
That went and put it out there. I mean, you guys really are something, man. I remember your show before school every morning. It was like on at 6 a.m.
Well, you're going to love what I found digging
up. Oh, I can't wait.
All right, so Paula Janice... This impressed me. She had, because they met, they came about because they were both school teachers in the New York City school system. That's how they met.
Wow.
And they, you know, put things together. All right, Paula Janice, she has a PhD in early childhood education.
Wow.
And then she later, before the Magic Garden, she became the head of the Head Start program in New York City.
Isn't that something, man?
I mean, having an executive position like that, but in New York City school system?
That's a big payday, man. Plus it's like a status symbol. That's a very, very, very hard thing to get.
It is.
And then they wind up on television for 12 years. How do you go from public schools to broadcasting?
That. But you,
public
you,
broadcasting.
You mentioned a record album. They did put out 3 record albums.
Yes.
On the third one, they actually got nominated for a Grammy.
Isn't that unbelievable? Now, this only can happen, unfortunately, on the East Coast out of New York, because something like that, you're talking about two people in the educational system. They get to come on a show.
Exactly.
They get to, I can't wait to find out who was on the show as celebrities.
That I don't have a list for. Couldn't find anything like that. I don't think they had celebrities on that one because it was just New York.
Well.
But I don't know.
New York, being from New Jersey, you know, with their own local celebrities.
True.
Probably from the news or something was on there because they were on, if I'm not familiar, remember, it was 6 a.m. in the morning. So I used to get up and my sister would watch
that.
Yeah, I think so. Before school, because you had to be at school by 8, I think, something like that. I don't remember. And that was it. You'd hear, watch their show. My sister used to listen to their record on this little thing known as a stereo. Not an iPhone, an iPad, or something. A stereo. We actually had to plug it in, and you had a little arm and put it on there with a needle, and you listened to it. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Well, Carol Demas, she went on to record over 200 commercial jingles.
Wow.
For television and radio. She actually also, as an actress, went on to make appearances on like Kojak, Barnaby Jones,
wow.
The Love Boat.
The Love Boat.
She had a career, major career.
Isn't that unbelievable, man? That, all from Okay, this wasn't public broadcasting system, but this was a form of it, PIX. It was like the local station and stuff. But New York, the advertising is so strong. It's just unbelievable. So these two, wow, they were just something, man. And I'll tell you the truth. Growing up, you had a crush on them because they were cute.
70s style, yeah. But also, Carol Demas, she went on to be on Broadway in the first Broadway production of Grease as the character Sandy.
No way.
Yes way. That's how much success that she had had. Is to go from that movie to the Broadway production to be the first Sandy in Grease.
That's pretty awesome.
That's impressive. I like what I found out about them. Now, here's the other thing, okay? If you want to look them up, you can go look them up. If you grew up with them, you don't know where how to find them, they have a big Facebook page.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have to friend request them because I'll tell you what. After hearing that, the bumblebees and in the garden, man, brings back memories. I love the pink, pigtails on them. Pigtails, they used to call them.
The pigtails?
Yeah, wow.
Well, here's the other thing now. You go to their Facebook page, apparently they're still out there together from time to time, touring and doing shows.
Wow, they have to be, what, in their 50s?
Late 50s?
Early 60s, wow, and they're still touring? I'll tell you what. That is what is known as in entertainment, one long, awesome career, because you don't get that, man.
Yeah, you don't get that in just one regional of the country, but they still tour.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Thing. And the thing is, if you order merchandise from them, you can get an autographed photo from them, signed by them.
I can't believe that, man. Paula, and oh my gosh, that's just unbelievable.
Doesn't that bring you back?
Yeah, it blows your mind away because I remember them being on the swing, singing and stuff. You didn't want to go to school. You wanted to go to their garden. You beautiful ladies actually wanted to make you miss school where you were miserable with other kids and go to your house and learn about life and maybe learn how to grow different things in the garden.
Exactly. I didn't have it growing up, but you did. So
yeah, it was awesome.
But I think it's time to get on to the next one. And I'm going to play this song as the intro for the next topic here.
Sounds good. I could just imagine what this third show is going to be.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Barry's favorite little place. Lover Ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Lover Ducky, I'm off the fun of you. Rubber ducky, joy of joys. When I squeeze you, you make noise.
Now, I never heard that till I came across researching this. I would have listened to that on the radio in the 80s.
You're not kidding. That would have been unbelievable. Little Richard sings Little Rubber Ducky. I can't believe that.
The Ernie's Rubber Ducky theme song.
Oh, I can't believe that. That's only got to be from one show.
Sesame Street, of course.
Wow, that is just unbelievable. The cast of characters on there was pretty unbelievable.
Oh, I mean this. I mean Sesame Street. It's like last week when we were talking. I said we're going to talk about Spaceballs. It's such a big topic. We'll revisit it. But Sesame Street is a place that we will revisit again because there's so many things to hit on.
They
here.
Even have a theme park, Sesame Place.
They do?
Yes, Sesame Place.
I did not know that.
Yes, they do. Isn't that unbelievable? So a show like Sesame Street also has a place called Sesame Place, a theme park based on that. What other facts can you astonish me and everybody else with?
I did not know that. Well, Sesame Street's been going for 46 years.
Wow. 1969 they started that,
That's it.
Wow.
November 10th, 1969, it premiered.
Wow.
It is seen in over 120 countries.
Wow, that means they must have that dubbed in a lot of languages, man.
There's 20 different international versions of it.
Wow.
There's Sesame Street Israel. There's Sesame Street Pakistan. There's Sesame Street... I can't eat that.
Wow.
I stopped right there.
Yeah.
I was trying to
That's just too overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. But, you know, you can break Sesame Street kind of into two departments. There's before 1981 Sesame Street, before Elmo...
Before Elmo.
Yeah, and then Sesame Street after 1981 when Elmo first made his first appearance and then everything after that.
I think, does anybody remember the big purple Mr. Snuffleupagus?
Oh, the Snuffleupagus. That, he is one, I don't even know what to say.
I love Snuffleupagus.
He was an imaginary, Big Bird was the only one who could see him.
Yep.
But he was real. Every time, by near misses, the adults never saw him until they introduced him to the adults in 1985.
Wow, there you go, 1981. Things have changed.
But I remember when there was the first adult who saw Snuffleupagus.
Who was the first adult?
It was an episode of Sesame Street. They were talking about not being afraid of getting shots. Okay. Not being afraid of needles. And on the episode, everybody was getting their flu shot or something. It was Gordon and Susan and Bob and Maria, and they were getting their flu shots to not be afraid, because Big Bird had to get his flu shot.
Oh, Big Bird. How about Oscar the Grouch?
Maybe so. But I remember there was this pharmacist. It was just a little bit to the right of Mr. Hooper's store. There was this, like, I think it was a pharmacist guy or a doctor guy giving out shots. And it was near the end of the show, and he was cleaning up, putting stuff in. And the Snuffleupagus comes up behind him, right behind him. And he's like, "Hello there, I'd like to get a shot, please." And he goes, "Okay, well, I'm just cleaning up. Go ahead and just stretch around here." And he stretched out his trunk.
Oh, my gosh.
And the guy, he had his, like, little tiny glasses on. And he does the shot thing, and he goes down and gives Snuffleupagus his shot in the trunk. And then he turns around to see the Snuffleupagus and is just jaw dropped, like what you're doing right now. Jaw dropped, like, and just...
Nothing to say.
Nothing to say. Now, I looked for this clip, but I couldn't find it.
Oh, wow.
But it's the first human to see...
That ever saw Mr. Yeah. Snuffleupagus.
And then he Snuffleupagus, you know, snuffies off.
Wow.
And I remember I was so excited. Like, "Mommy, Mommy, there was a man that just saw the Snuffleupagus.
Wow.
He saw the Snuffleupagus."
Wow.
It was...
Oh, my gosh.
But do you know where they get the name from Sesame Street?
Sesame seeds?
Close, kind of. From the Arabian Nights. So this is a suggestion of the open sesame.
Oh, from the cave, open sesame.
Yeah, because it makes the suggestion of adventure and excitement.
Well, this was an adventure and excitement show because you had a cast of characters. I mean, Cookie Monster. Cookie!
I'm probably wrong on this number, but they've done over 4,212 episodes.
Wow.
I'm probably a few hundred behind on that number.
Is that the longest running TV series in history?
I think it could be. I didn't look into that part of it.
But that sounds like unbelievable.
I think it is.
4,400 plus shows.
Now, we mentioned Big Bird. How tall do you think Big Bird is?
He used to be big. I'm going to say 6'1".
Taller.
6'8"?
Taller.
7 foot?
Taller.
8 foot?
8 feet 2 inches.
8 feet?
Yes.
2 inches is Big Bird.
The puppeteer who does Big Bird, his name is Carol Spinney. He's done it since day one. He's 81 years old now.
Wow.
He does it once in a while. But he just had a book and a movie come out last May, I Am Big Bird.
Oh my gosh. Now everybody go get that, because Big Bird is one of America's icons of...
He's a bigger icon than presidents.
Yes, just being himself, Big Bird. Wow.
To make the Big Bird outfit, it takes 6,000 yellow-dyed turkey and ostrich feathers and other birds of large plumage.
Wow.
That's a lot. Now, I may be
How
wrong...
How many man-hours goes into that?
I don't know.
Wow.
That's... Now, I may be wrong on this statistics. How much do you think that whole costume weighs once he gets it put on?
I'm going to say with all that, at least a couple hundred pounds.
No. From what I understand, if I am incorrect and somebody can recorrect me on this, it only weighs 14 pounds.
14 pounds for 6,000 feathers.
6,000 feathers, because when he puts that costume on, the beak is his right hand that he reaches up. Okay.
Wow.
So anytime you see him doing that, he's got that thing, and he can't see out the costume, so he has a digital camera lens on his chest that allows him to see out.
Wow.
And then from what I read, okay, so his left hand is going to be moving the arm around, and then sometimes they will have another puppeteer doing the other hand. But if not that, it's a fish line that's gone through under the tie, looped under, and then connected to the other hand. So when it moves up, the other hand moves down.
Wow, you talk about ingenuity. Yeah, I would have never known that. That's a fact. Like, you still want to believe Big Bird is real.
Yes, I mean, the complexity. I still don't understand how the hand goes up into the beak and get that much control for that large beak.
Exactly.
It must be just the lightweight felt or the material they make out of it.
That is just That is just something you never thought of.
No.
You really thought Big Bird was alive. You really think Big Bird is real. He had so much great adventures as a kid. You're just like, Big Bird. Now his hand is, oh my goodness.
To be in that position that long. He says he doesn't do it no more than usually 11 minutes usually.
Wow.
So what color was Oscar the Grouch during season one?
Oscar the Grouch. Before, I want to say brown.
Nope. He was orange.
Orange.
Now, Carol Spinney also does Oscar the Grouch.
Does he really?
Yes.
Wow. How does he fit into the garbage can?
They actually showed it from, there's a documentary from 2001 called Behind the Scenes of Sesame Street. It's about an hour and a half long. It was put on by CBS, I think.
Okay.
You can dig it up on YouTube. It's in two parts, but there's some scenes that they show how he comes up as the puppeteer behind the garbage can.
That's unbelievable because these characters are so real, especially growing up as a kid. You know what I'm saying, senior nerdling? And it's just like, wow, how does he fit in the garbage can?
It's amazing the way he does it. Now, which of the monsters... All the monsters all have four fingers, but one has five fingers. Which one is it?
Count. The Count?
No. You would think the Count. No. He's the one that loves cookies.
Cookie Monster!
Cookie Monster. See, he is for Cookie. Wow. Cookie is for me. Now, I have a funny story about Cookie Monster.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Because back when I was a kid, you remember how he would eat cookies, he would take and make a mess everywhere.
But he loved them so much.
Yeah, but it got to a point in time, eventually, my Aunt Marvel, she had her son, whose name was Adam, he would get a cookie monster, and just make a mess.
Wow.
She wrote a letter.
No.
To the Children's Television Sesame Street Workshop, saying, you know, something like, will you please stop having Cookie Monster make these cookie messes?
Your aunt actually changed history.
My aunt changed history because at a point after that, and I've watched it check in from time to time, Cookie Monster quit making messes, or the cookie just went into the mouth and that was it, and then the noises followed.
Wow, so your aunt actually changed history.
She did. She made it so Cookie Monster could no more make a mess with cookies.
Well, I don't know if I want to be positive on that one or negative, because I think a lot of kids aren't going to like you for that one because you changed it. Now, hopefully, when they get older, they don't know who you are now.
Well, that
wasn't him. It was his aunt.
This is my aunt, yeah. My aunt, my Aunt Marvel.
Aunt changed history.
Changed history, yeah, because it was, I want to say, I should ask her about it.
You should.
I can't remember what year it was.
That would be something.
I didn't have time to get a hold of her, but it was her letter that changed the whole Cookie Monster making crumbs persona.
Because he used to go, yeah, that's what you see, yeah. Messes of that. That must have been messy on the stage.
Yeah, because I can only imagine. Okay, who was the first celebrity to... This topic's going to get big. Who was the first celebrity to ever be on Sesame Street? This kind of, again, goes kind of a full circle thing.
I'm trying to think what year.
It was 1969.
That was before
It was just a plain face, his plain face, and he's going A, B, C.
I'm
going
to say Joe Namath.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader from last week's topics.
Yeah, back to the Muppets again.
Wow. James Earl Jones was the first character on Sesame Street, or first celebrity. That's
first celebrity. And they've had over 440 celebrities, stars.
Wow.
Musicians, all kinds of things. Comedians.
Wow. Did Madonna make it on Sesame Street?
I got that for you at the very end, because I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew you were going to ask me that.
Oh,
but
boy.
Xerox, the company Xerox, they put up the first $50,000 grant to make the first pilot episode of Sesame Street.
Wow. That is something.
That's a lot of money back in 1969.
Did they print their own, though, because they had copy machines?
They probably could have printed the money.
I don't know.
Now,
Xerox, wow.
One of the funny notes I came across was when Cheech Marin made it onto Sesame Street.
Wow, Cheech and Chong made it on Sesame Street.
Just Cheech.
Wow.
Okay. Now, if my year was right, this was about 1994, okay? Now, we all know what Cheech does, okay? We know what Cheech's persona is, okay? So what they had him do, he came out as a genie.
Wow.
Poof, smoke.
Oh.
Okay? The jokes probably went right over the kid's head.
Oh, right over the kid's head, right into the parents there. I wonder if there was a lot of contact high that day from the smoke. genie. Wow.
Well, this was when Ruth Buzzy was one of the adults on there, okay? So he did an interaction with Ruth Buzzy with two of the other monsters as he was coming out, and they end up singing a song. So I'm going to just play this. I got to play the whole loop.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Because you got to hear the chorus of the song, because I didn't find this in the notes. I discovered this myself for Cheech Marin.
Wow.
What I found.
No, I found. I think I got it first.
I saw it first.
No, no, no.
I think just let go.
I had it first.
Tell
it. No, no, no. I'm pretty sure I had it first. Whoa!
Oh, genie!
Ruthie! Hey! How are you?
What are you doing in that little lamp? The last time I saw you, were in a great big lamp.
Yeah, well, the big lamp broke, and they put me in the little lamp.
Oh,
boy, does my neck hurt.
Oh, here, here. How's that?
Oh, better now. Oh, boy, is it cramped in there.
Yes.
Hey, Ruthie.
What?
Want to do it one time for old time's sake? Will you make me want to lift your hand up and lift the other hand up?
Doobie doobie doo.
So that was when Cheech Marin got on there, and they probably wrote that coming into the genie, the poof of smoke, the lamp, and the doobie doobie doobie.
I wonder if it was a purple haze of smoke.
I think it was a purple haze of smoke.
Wow.
I think it was. Okay, so now, okay, in pop culture today, for you to make it, you either have to probably appear on Sesame Street. I mean, the list of celebrities, I mean, the Dixie Chicks, Garth Brooks,
wow.
Jim Carrey, Richard Pryor.
Was Dolly Parton on there?
My mom was asking me that this morning, if Dolly Parton was ever on there. I said, I don't know. I didn't have time to Google it.
She probably was, though. I wonder if she brought her two Twin Peaks with her.
Well, it's either that or you do a voice on The Simpsons.
Wow, okay? Yeah.
All right, so you were asking about one of your favorite pop culture
of all
icons,
time.
Madonna. Now, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Madonna did do a Simpsons episode.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Where
wow.
She was Bart's girlfriend. I think I'm correct. I have to research
wow.
that.
Wow.
But she has never appeared on Sesame Street.
Madonna, my favorite of all time, beautiful women, entertainer, the love of my life. Why didn't you go on Sesame Street?
But, so, Sesame Street took it upon themselves to spoof her.
Oh, boy, I never saw that.
They took a Muppet and kind of gave her... They basically took, like, her whole album collection up to Material Girl and wrote a song called The Cereal Girl.
Oh, wow.
Because the song... Remember Material Girl when the song hits a...
Yeah.
All those little chirps and cackles that she makes in the song. I'll just play it for you and let you listen. You notice the Lucky Star kind of sound in there, the music.
Oh.
The time when I did not eat cereal. Oh no, oh no. I had never tasted it, had never tried it. So then one day my dad said, have some cereal with me. Cereal tastes really good and it's helpful, you see. I said, I taste it, I'll give it a whirl, and now I am a cereal girl.
Now, while this is going on, she's got two Muppets behind her that are dancing like Madonna's backup singers.
Oh, wow.
And you got to look up the video clip.
I'm going to see that.
It's funny.
That's got to be unbelievably epic. Wow.
So there's that little chirp part that they put into it.
Wow.
That's the only part it appears in the song.
Cereal, when she goes like that, wow. Cereal girl.
Yeah, it's kind of like they took the whole, all her three albums up to that point and put them all together
wow.
in that one song. That pretty much brings up all the facts that I got. But now there's one I can't remember when I was knocking on the door. Do you remember? It was Skit. I can't remember if it's from the Electric Company or from Sesame Street. It's where the plumber is coming, knocks on the door, and the parrot goes, "Who is it?" "It's the plumber. I've come to fix the sink." And then the parrot goes again, "Who is it?" "It's the plumber. I've come to fix the sink."
How come I want to say Electric Company for some reason?
I think Electric Company, because every time that came on, it's like, gotta watch this again, because it's hilarious.
Wow.
And you would just imitate. And I remember hearing adults talk about it. You know, and then the little man goes, and then passes out. And then the lady of the house comes over and goes, "Who is it?" And the parrot goes, "It's the plumber. He's come to fix the sink."
I'll tell you, this brought back so many memories. And you know what? You got to go and you got to give it to Sesame Street. There's Sesame Place. You also have such merchandise out there and stuff. And they're educational.
Yes.
Educational. They used to have 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. I mean, same thing with the Electric Company, Magic Garden, you know, trying to teach you how to do things as a kid. I mean, this was a good time to grow up.
Yeah,
it really was.
And I know some people are saying, well, why didn't you talk about Mr. Rogers or Zoom or...
Captain Kangaroo.
Well, that was CBS.
Okay.
But still, it's in the children's program. Why didn't you talk about these? It's because we ran out of time.
Yes, we did.
All right. Our point here is to make this exciting and keep it going for you.
Yes, that's why we're nerdlings. Nerdling Junior, Nerdling Senior. Listen in, pass it along like a hot potato.
Exactly.
Keep passing, passing, passing.
So eventually we will get to Mr. Rogers and the others.
We will get to the whole smorgasbord of them all.
And we will be coming back to Sesame Street because the list of celebrities that have been on there is endless. That's a full topic right there.
I was just going to say, we could probably do multiple shows or multiple, you know, ABC, like we're doing show
yes.
one, show two, ABC, blah, blah, blah. Just, we should do an alphabetical order of the celebrities popping up or that appeared on there.
We could do that. By the way, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast, the Nerdlings today, was brought to you by the dollar sign.
The dollar sign.
It was also brought to you by the lucky number 7.
The 7.
And also brought to you by the lucky number exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
Because we're in Las Vegas, coming to you from the beautiful near strip, near the shadow of the Link Ferris wheel.
Las Vegas. They do have PBS here.
They do, they do.
Watch it. Or... Irene Cara, Fame, what a performance. Then Flashdance.